Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this beautiful day that you are giving to us to be alive, and also the privilege to come to your house to worship you with the rest of the saints. We are grateful unto you for the week that ended yesterday, and your blessings for us both physically and spiritually. Thank you for watching over us in our going out and coming in. Students, workers, business people, we are grateful unto you. Lord, we will ask that in the course of the week, if there be any way they were falling short of your glory, we ask that you will forgive our sins and trespasses and let them come under your blood and give us grace to do better than such for the glory of your name. Thank you for the blessings we have received already in the Sunday school. Thank you for testimonies of your goodness to your children. We thank you, God, for the worship service. Thank you for special numbers also.
Amen.
We ask for blessings to be upon the song leader, the users of instruments, and the entire congregation. Be with us as we continue in this service. And as we are asking for your grace and mercy upon us here, we are asking the same for our brethren that are gathered around the same message in sincerity all over the world. You help your servants, may you help your children. Give us understanding and give us revelation. Lord, while your coming draw closer on a daily basis, may you walk upon each one of us and make us ready for your coming, that we will not run the race in vain. But Lord, when it's come to an end, your grace will gather us at your feet to jointly with your prophet sing Amazing Grace. Thank you, Eternal Father. Be with us as we continue in the service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you. I have a question that somebody asked me that I was just giving, just well, so I will not attend to it today. Next Sunday, God willing,
we'll
just spare our life. And if either in the morning or in the evening, anytime I have to come on board, I will answer it.
All
right.
Time from shore to shore. Send the light, send the light, and let us freedom to light the world. Let us not go weary in the work of as we rise on our feet now.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, oh, send the light.
Let's reach out for our Bible. To turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. From verse 1 to 4.
That's a second.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirits nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. God bless you. Can please be seated as we still read more scriptures. Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12 to 14. Isaiah 14 from verse 12 to 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou called down to the ground, which is weakening the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the soul, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering.
The
sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast it to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. He shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to the ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at this. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be anymore. Finally, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. This will be the seventh time, if I'm not mistaken, that we'll be talking on this topic, revelation of the man of sin. And in a few minutes, we will recapitulate the things we have said, and then proceed. We started with the origin of Satan in heaven, and when iniquity was found in him, and that iniquity, as we read in the scriptures, and his expulsion from heaven, and his incarnation into the beast called serpent. Then his affairs with Eve. Affairs. And the birth of Cain. We Continue with the genealogy of Adam, and then that also of the serpent. Young man, you are already closing your eyes. Make it sharp. That is the genealogy of Adam from God to Adam. That's what the Bible says. Say Adam, which is, was the son of God. Did you read it? We read it there. So from God to Adam, from Adam to Seth, who replaced Abel. Then from Seth to Enos.
That is Seth to Enos.
From Enos to Canaan.
Enos to Canaan.
From Canaan to
Mahalalel.
Then to Jared.
To Jared.
And then Enoch.
At Enos.
Because Jude verse 14 told us that this Enoch is the seventh from Adam. That is, yes, if you count from Adam, he's the seventh. So we also look at the other genealogy of Lucifer. Lucifer being the one on top. He also started in heaven. Then came to the earth to inhabit the serpent. From the serpent Cain was born.
Wow.
And from there they have Enoch. It's not the same Enoch that is on this line of Adam.
Because
the prophet said they are name, they begin to interchange their name. Just like today, there are plenty Noahs, plenty Abrahams, plenty Moses, plenty Elijah, plenty Samuel, plenty John, even people bearing Jesus. And yet they are all serpent seeds. From Enoch to Irad, then from there to
Mehujah,
then to
Methusael,
and then to
Lamech.
And those traces continue. You only stop on the seventh. You trust is go find job to do. If you sleep for here, I will mention your name. Go and find job to do in the church, my friend. The first line, all of you have slept. May the Lord be our head. If you know you are sleeping, help yourself. Before something do you.
King come in to show.
Do something before something do you.
We say King come in to show.
All right. So, we saw that at this peak of the seventh year, that is where we have Lamech, that is on the line of Lucifer, serpent. That's the beginning of polygamy. And we read scriptures, Genesis 5, 1 to 18. First Chronicles, well, we didn't read First Chronicles, but it's part of it, that where you have the genealogies. First Chronicles chapter 1, 1 to 3. Luke chapter 3. 37 to 38. Jude verse 14. And 1 John 3, 12, that talk about the part of the origin of Cain. And also Genesis 3:20 told us that Eve was the mother of all living. Then we proceeded to talk about the multiplication of the serpent seed and their influence on the daughters of Cain. Sorry, the influence of the daughters of Cain on the sons of Seth, which is the son of God. Then we also talk about how that led to the destruction of the world through the flood. Because people began to do evil until God was tired of the whole thing. Then we find Noah His three sons, Noah's wife, the wives of the three sons, making eight in number. These are the only people that was spared from destruction. Then the prophet told us that if all the serpent seed have been destroyed, there wouldn't have been serpent seed on this side of the flood. But he told us that out of the eight, that the wife of Ham carry the serpent seed across this side. And when multiplication started again, he told us that the multiplication of the serpent seed was faster than those of the seed of God. Until by the time we got to chapter 11 of
Genesis,
they have brought up the idea of how to build a tower which was spearheaded by
Nimrod,
the son of Cush. Cush being the son of Ham. They were all having, they have two things then that made the thing possible. One was that they have a unified language. Two, then they have a unified purpose. A unity of purpose. And they have what they decided was that they are going to build this tower that the top will reach to heaven. And the prophet told us the reason was that they want to continue to do their evil, and they know that God is God, God is holy. When he see them doing their evil again, that he will might come back to come and destroy them. So their mind was that when God is taking that notion, they will through the tower run to heaven. Then God also called the angels. Look at children of men. See what they are doing. And because they are one, because they are speaking one language, this thing they have imagined to do, say nothing will be the same from them in achieving their purpose as long as they are one. You know, the prophet preached sermons on that. Oneness of unity, united as one, the unity of one God in the one church. He preached a message entitled Oneness. In all these sermons, and uniting time and sign. In all these sermons, what he's trying to stress, the importance of unity, but he told us of the positive side of unity and the negative side of unity. This one in Genesis 11 is the negative side of unity. And if people are united, even though they are planning to do what is evil, as long as they are united, they will achieve their purpose. Except when God come inside and scatter it, as he did in Genesis 11. Our country has witnessed coup d'etat, people that have grown up to witness that. Any coup that is not leaked anywhere is successful. But the one that is leaked, it will not be successful. That is how you see what unity is. And when the prophet was preaching the message, the greatest battle ever fought, He said, let people that are here, let them be united in their hearts to God's word. He said, I can tell you that for the next 15 minutes, that there will not be a people person. There will not be one person looking for the Holy Ghost that will not have received. Because that is the atmosphere that God has been hunting for to achieve his purpose in human beings. But you know what? Within 10 minutes, when we are seated like this, sleep will come. Tiredness. As I have seen other people sleep beside the people I met. If you look from here and look at people, you see eyeball turning red. It's the result of sleep. Yes. It's the result of sleep. Yes. And that does not happen in worship service. It doesn't happen in sitting period. It doesn't happen when somebody is giving testimony or special numbers. It happens only when the Bible is read. Brother Paul said, we are not unaware of the devices of the enemy. So it depends on you to do something. The Lord be our. This man, we don't know how he used to coin it, so he don't call.
Okay,
let's proceed. We went further to talk about now the migration of the seat of Satan. Because that building of that tower is and all that happened there is what clearly showed to us the origin of the seat of Satan. It was Babel, which was further named Babylon. But you saw that we read the scripture, Revelation 2:13, when God was sending messages to the ages. And he was sending the message to the third church age, which is Pergamos. And he was telling them that that place where Satan's seat was, it was a commendation to them by saying that, you see, I'm cutting it from the middle.
Okay.
He said, okay, let me start from the beginning. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan
sits.
Alright, so let me just stop there. And the prophet said the reason why this was a commendation was that there were people in this particular age that were living in the throne room of Satan and they were defeating him there. That was why it came to them as a commendation. People that are not living in the seat of Satan, they are still being flawed by Satan. But we saw these people living straight in the throne room of Satan, and they defeated him there. They held their faith and they lived victorious. Of course, we know that Nigeria is terrible, but we cannot say that it's the seat of Satan. But it's a terrible place anyway. So thus far, when we were talking about where Satan's seat is, the prophet went back to quote the beginning, the origin of Babylon. No, which Babel was founded by Nimrod, the grandchild of Ham.
And he told us of the three objectives of Nimrod. He wants to build a strong nation. He wants to propagate his own religion. And number three, he wants to make a name for himself. And the prophet said he achieved all these three. And we saw further where we have read. I'm just paraphrasing the places we have read. Then we went further to talk about how the anti-God religion began to spread, which was the religion that Nimrod brought. He began to spread. And the prophet told us further how that civilization and education, all prophets have told us that civilizations of the devil, educations of the devil. Though we are not saying you shouldn't go to school, but when your education disagree with the word of God, you have to take God's word and discountenance what the education is saying in that place. Don't go and study evolution. It is not of God. If they give you that course free, don't offer it. That is 100% sponsored. Even in America, free trip, fully sponsored. Don't try it. If you do, then we know the class you belong to. Alright. Silence. Let's proceed. The prophet told us that it was the Chaldeans that taught the Egyptians science and mathematics. And you know where the Chaldeans are? They are in Babylon. They are the ones that taught the Egyptians science and mathematics. And then the Grecians, in turn, were taught this same science and mathematics by the Egyptians. But their grandfather is the Chaldeans. And the prophet told us that in those days, when a nation is able to conquer another nation, or is a benefactor to another nation, then this one becomes the head that they take influence from, that controls them. This is how the Chaldeans began to spread their influence from nation to nation, until it went like that to India. It spread to Rome, to China, to North and South of America, and other places. And the prophet told us that this is how now there is the beginning of polytheism from monotheism. This idol worship that started with the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, it goes with the, as they are part, imparting on them their education, their religion also go with them. So as it move like that, then they begin to have idol worship, which they do in Babylon, spreading from place to place. But the prophet said, in most cases, they change the name of those idols, that they don't bear exactly the same name. But say it is the same devil. Name may change from place to place, but it is the same devil that they are worshiping. And he now brought us out how the teaching of Trinity started from idol worship. If the beginning of it was how they have an image of three sides. The That's how they begin Trinity. Gradually and gradually.
Let's say so.
Until he come to where it is today.
Amen.
Amen. So, I guess we can read now. That is the summary of where we have gone thus far. Like I said, because I have not gotten any question from the time we started now. If you have questions, you can write. If you don't have questions, we give God the glory. Each of the services is recorded is in our archives. So you can replay it again. And then if anything is not clear, if it is a slip of tongues from my side, I will acknowledge it. If it is not, but you just don't understand, they will make further explanation. We are in page 186 now.
At wa loju ewe o kaejo ati efa
of the seven church age book.
Ti e pray alaye lori igbajo meje.
Pergamon church age.
Igbajo Pergamon.
Under the caption of where Satan sits.
Labe akuri ni biti satani gbe to gbe wa.
That this Ninus is the Nimrod of the Bible, we can affirm by comparing history with the Genesis account. Pompeius said, Ninus, king of Assyria, changed the ancient moderate ways of life by the desire for conquest. He was the first who carried war against his neighbors. So if you are the type that is always war, Armageddon everywhere, that the blood that is running inside of your system is war. This is where it starts. You have to check whether do you come from this lineage of Nimrod. God was the first to carry war against his neighbors. He conquered all nations from Assyria to Libya. As these men knew not the acts of war, Diodorus says Ninus was the most ancient of Assyrian kings mentioned in history. Being of warlike disposition. Oh, mercy. Warlike disposition. There are people that they just like fight. Where there is no issue, they will bring issue. He trained many young men rigorously in the arts of war. He brought Babylonian under him while yet there was no city of Babylon. This is history now that Pompeius said of Ninus, the king of Assyria. Thus we see this Ninus started to become great in Babylon. Built Babel and took over Assyria, becoming its king, and then proceeded to devour other vast territories where the people were unskilled in war and live in a moderate way, as said
Pompeius.
Now in Genesis 10, speaking of the kingdom of Nimrod, it says, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Kane, in the land land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Ashur, and builded Nineveh, and Kala, etc. But the translators made a mistake in translating Ashur as a noun, for it is a verb. And in the Kaladin means to make strong. Thus it is
Nimrod,
who, having been made strong, he established his kingdom by building the world's first army, which he trained by drilling and through the rigors of hunting, went beyond China with his strong army and subdued nations and built such cities as Nineveh, which was named after him. For even today, a chief part of the ruins of that city is called
Nimrod.
Now, this is the man that brought war into the world. Today, the economy of the world, not less than 80% of it, goes into building weapons of war. If you find out the price of one of these things that we are talking of, rifle, this, one of these missiles that they are building, nuclear weapon and the rest of it, it will literally turn this earth to God's kingdom. But this is the man that brought war into the world. All these countries that you see, each one of them, the reason why they have spies, which they call ambassadors, is to be spying each other, to see the strength of each country, to see their loopholes and their limitations, to know what the, how to outsmart them, how to bring this one under them, and so on and so forth. That is what this world is all about. What do you want to stay in this world for? What are you craving in this world for? It is a world of chaos. It's a world of chaos, and that is why it cannot continue, or it can never continue, and it's ripe for fire any moment from now. It ignites. Since we have discovered this Ninus war, who this Ninus was, it is now necessary to discover who his father was. I won't have time to concentrate on waking you up. Jesus told his disciples, those that he carried to follow him, he said, stay here and watch with me. He went there to go and pray. He came back the first time. They were sleeping. He said, you can't even watch with me for 1 hour. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. He went, he come back, he met them sleeping. You can't watch with me for 1 hour. You yourself, pray so that you yourself don't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. When he come the second time, okay, continue your sleep. Every Sunday, spirit is willing, flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, flesh is weak. No Sunday, no Sunday that you can bring this body under subjection of that spirit that you sense inside of you. Did it tire me? I will not lie you. Did it really tire me? According to history, It was Bel, the father of Babylon. Now it is to be noted here that Bel founded it in the sense that he started this whole move. But it was the son, Ninus, that established it and was the first king, etc. But according to the scripture, the father of Nimrod was Cush. And Cush begat Nimrod. That's the scripture. Not only is this so, but we find that Ham begat Cush. Now, in the Egyptian culture, Bel was called Amis. And Amis means the son of Ham. According to history, Amis was the great prophet of idolatry. He was the interpreter of the gods. Another name by which he was called was Mercury. You read Acts 14, verse 11 and 12. Hyginus says this about that god who was known variously as Bel, Hermes, Mercury, etc. He said, for many ages, men lived under the government of Jove, not the Roman Jove, but Jehovah of the Hebrews, who predates Roman history. Without cities and without laws, and all speaking one language. That is, he was talking of the issue that started before the building, of all this tomb or something, before the building of a tower or whatever. Let's continue. But after that, Mercury, Bel, Cush interpreted the speeches of men, whence an interpreter is called Amenitis. The same individual distributed the nations. Then discord began. It is seen from this that Bel or Cush, the father of Nimrod, originally was the ringleader that led the people away from the true God and encouraged the people as the interpreter of the gods to take another form of religion. We are tracing how Satan moved from one angle to another angle and go to where history. We have not reached today now. We are still dealing with history. He encouraged them to go ahead with the tower which his son actually built. This encouragement is what brought the confusion and the division of men, so that he was both interpreter and confuser. You can see name that people will bear. You see, in this our present world, I said it here before, one time we were working on the data of Khan. I don't know the company that got the contract, but we were just called to do data entry. So Rakele was there in the 80s now. In the 80s. Ogota, I'm not yet 67. Where did you get the Ogota? In the 80s. Like 40 years. Mm-hmm. Around 80s. Alright. So we saw names. People bearing Lucifer. They bear Lucifer. Terrible names that I've never seen before. Jezebel.
Jezebeli.
And names like that. It is only in the message that we actually know the importance of names. Because when you look at the scriptures, it was God that first of all do the first naming. By calling the being that he created in the garden, Adam, both the masculine and the feminine spirit, he named them Adam. Then from the time he put Adam in flesh, all that he made thereafter, that was he brought them to Adam. Adam was the one that gave them names. And the Bible said the name Adam gave to them was the name thereof. God did not do any correction. Why? Because Adam was in a perfect state. He has not fallen. But right from before, there are people begin to bear names that they like. Then those that God have something to do with, that he discovered that they are giving a wrong name that doesn't tally with the calling he has called them, he changed their name to fit his calling in their life. That we find in the scripture. That is why today, if you are a believer and you go name your child Babatunde, it means you don't understand what you are talking about. Because it's not scripture. Omotunde. There is no, a child can come back after he is dead. If he is to come back, he must, that very child must wake up. But then buried, and then you give back to the next child, and then he says now when I gave back to my son in 2005, now I was heavy when my dad passed on. Just like 2 months.
Yes.
So when we get back, and God will mention, says, and some people want to close your mouth. You know, since I came to this message, all my family, they don't play foolishly around me. Because when it comes to this thing that I believe, it's my life completely. I won't take rubbish from anybody, including from my own father. The day he mentioned, he was suggesting that I should marry from my town. The answer he got that day, he never repeated again. Amen.
Amen.
Let us proceed.
Cush.
Cush then was the father of the polytheistic system. And when men were deified by men, he of course became the father of the gods. Now Cush was called Bel, and Bel in Roman mythology was Janus.
He
is pictured as having two faces, and he carried a club by which he confounded and scattered the people. Ovid writes that Janus said concerning himself, "The ancients called me chaos." Just like somebody know that is called Ebora, and didn't do anything about it. Ebora is I don't know how to call it in English. What's the English of Ebora? It's not just a meal. It's a very terrible something. Ebora. You can always imagine an evil spirit of Owu. And he rejoiced at it. Iku Baba Yeye.
Baba Yeye. Ike Jusha.
Then that person want to say he believe in God.
He said no. No be any support from God alone. Iku Baba Yeye. Ike Jusha. So when talk from God alone.
You see, who might be the just the idol worshippers.
Amen. Yeah. Abu Shalom.
Yes.
Abu Shalom.
In idolatry, people don't fear because they know they are worshiping Satan and they rejoice with it. You have the Ogboni fraternity and the people say it with that. That's where we is our group. They have a building close to Molete before. That's Ogboni Fraternity, where the majority of those lawyers and judges, they used to go there. May God have mercy upon us. Now there's good side of law, but the bad side is more. Because it's wide. It's very wide. So, and you know, there is different, just like medicine. That's also how the law is also wide. Depending on the, so if you want to study law, you got to find out what each line is leading you to. There are some that you have to tell lie to be in service. We have some lawyers in the message. Baba's daughter-in-law is a lawyer. That's Brother Joseph's wife. She's a lawyer. My friend's wife in Lagos, Sister Esther Igwe, is a lawyer. She was working in Society General Bank. Currently, she was appointed a magistrate judges or something like that. In Akwa Ibom, where she is from. I believe that if you are a judge, you just judge by the law. If you don't want to, but if you also want to collect to pervert, it's possible. We have Abraham of Anifoshi, also a lawyer. We have Ruth Adokwe, also a lawyer, and so many others. We also have Brother Tolu, also a lawyer. Adele is also, I think he works with company. It's easier to even be a company lawyer. When I was in the service, and there was to be a change
in kingship.
All this royal, whatever they,
when there is an imbroglio in chieftaincy, and the cases are always going to court, they will put some of the judgment in the night. They used to carry judgment in 3 a.m. And the people at both sides, they will go with chance to make the lawyer to be saying what something opposite of what he come to defend. And whatever he says is written down. That's all. That's how some of the judgments are gotten. If you don't want to agree for something, okay, they will go into idolatry. And when they will be do their enchantment, some of them will be outside, some of them will be inside with the banter and everything like that. Do the thing. And the lawyer is there talking what he did not write down to come and say. At the end of the day, based on what is written, the judge will make the judgment. Call, go. That's how the Oluwo was settled that time for 12 years of imbroglio. The judgment was put on Friday, and it finished in the night. On Sunday, it was the secretary of the local government that knocked my window. Sam, 5 a.m., because he knows I come to Ibadan on Sunday, came to knock the door. He said, oh yeah, come. That we are installing Oluwo today. That's why he carried me to the office to go and prepare the program of the day. That day he was in stock. Because appeal is coming on Monday. Yes. They put it on Friday so that before they were appeal, the man is already sitting there. All these things are all of the devil. May the Lord be our help. It is my eyes see for service. That's why it is 5 years I pull out of the place. I say it doesn't for somebody to from here make right to, I say it's very hard. I didn't collect my gratuity, sir. Because I was entitled to 1 year salary. Let us continue. All right. Thus, we find that the Cush of the Bible, the original rebel against monotheism, was called Bel, Belus, Hermes, Janus, etc. Amongst the ancient peoples, he purported to bring revelations and interpretations from the gods to the people. In so doing, he caused the wrath of God to scatter the people. To scatter the people, bringing division and confusion. Now up to this point, we have seen when polytheism or the worship of many gods came. But did you notice that we also found a mention of a man named Cush, who was given a title of the father of the gods,
Did you notice? Here the old team of ancient mythologies, their gods identify themselves with men. That is where ancestor worship comes from. If you don't listen to these stories, if you think it's just ordinary history, there are things that you will just miss out. Everything you see today, they have been. Is the prophet digging their source out? How they started? But you will see later, all these spirits, they all enter into Catholicism. So we might just examine history to find out about ancestor worship. Well, it was brought out that Kush introduced a three-god worship of Father, Son, and Spirit. Three gods who are all equal. But he knew about the seed of the woman coming. So there will have to be a woman and a seed come into the picture. You see the devil? The prophet said that Satan was standing present in Genesis 3 when God said that your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. And the prophet said that is why he has always been hunting for anybody that he knows that the hand of God is upon, maybe that God wants to use as a leader to bring forth whatever deliverance. He has been hunting for such down the line. He always thinks that this is the person. This is the seed of the woman that I will bruise my head. Before I bruise my head, I go deal with him. Now Kush, the prophet said, he is aware of this promise that there is coming the seed of the woman. So in his own something also, in his own idolatry of Father, Son, Spirit now, as he's progressing in it, he also made sure that he wants to insert inside a woman and the seed inside. So that let the children of God not be looking for the seed to come. This is the seed. Satan is very terrible. If not that God is God, this world will cease to exist. But God is God. This was brought to pass when Nimrod died. His wife, Semiramis, deified him. And thus made herself the mother of the son. And also the mother of the gods. Just exactly as the Roman Church has deified Mary.
You see her?
You see him?
I said, go by.
They claim she was without sin. She was a sinner. Because she is a virgin, she was a virgin, or she is a virgin, does not mean that she has not sinned. The prophet said, if you are born inside the house, and you close the window here, doesn't even come inside, all the days of your life, you are still a sinner. As long as you are born by the desire of father and mother, you are a sinner.
Your
She might have been a virgin. So of course, she was a virgin. She's a virgin. But she will have told lies. But that's the nature of every child when they are growing up. No one escaped that. They claim she was without sin and was the mother of God. So she is Semiramis, called Nimrod, Zoroaster, which means the woman's promised seed. Nimrod. That caused confusion. The author of chaos, the interpreter and a confuser, is calling it the promised seed. But it wasn't too long until the woman began to attract more attention than the son. And soon she was the one who was depicted as trampling underfoot the serpent. Your seed will bruise the serpent's head. Is what they want to copy here now. But we are, it's just drama. They called her the queen of the heaven and made her divine. How like today, wherein Mary, the mother of Jesus, have been elevated to immortality. And right now, as of September 1964, the Vatican Council is attempting to give a quality to Mary she does not possess. But they would like to call her Mary the Mediatrix, Mary the mother of all believers. It's not believer like us. Or mother of the church. If there was ever Babylonian ancestor worship in a religion, it is the religion of the Church of Rome. No, the matter is coming gradually, isn't it? Well, God bless you, especially you people that is not sleeping. May the Lord bless you. You that sleep, when you will write your question that it is not clear, now that I see you sleep, even if you give it to the deacon, we ask who is the writer. This one, we need in the Akoro-Koro. I want to know who write the question. No be anonymous question. Is it not this preaching? No be this preaching. The people used to say something is not clear to you, meet the preacher. Hey, I'm the preacher here or this one now. I want to see you that is writing the question. How is it that you didn't understand? No be sleep with the sleep. And I will come one of these days with prepared questions on this topic. That's where wahala will bust. May God be our help. Right. Not only was ancestor worship originated in Babylon, but so also was the worship of nature. It was in Babylon the gods were identified with the sun and moon. The chief object in nature was the sun, which has light giving and heat giving properties, and appears to man as a ball of fire in the heavens. Thus, the chief god will be the sun god, whom they call Baal. You saw how Baal entered into the picture that was worshipped in Israel, that was brought by Jezebel. You see
how?
Often the sun was depicted as a circle of flame, and soon around that flame there appeared a serpent. It wasn't long until the serpent became a symbol of the sun and consequently worshipped. Thus, the desire of Satan's heart became full-fledged. He was worshipped as God. Amen. You know, this is how we'll go gradually until we get to Thessalonians. And if you follow it, it will be clear once and for all. You that do sleep, I will advise you, go listen to all the ones we have done. Okay. His throne was established. His slaves bowed to him. There in Pergamos, in the form of a living serpent, he was worshipped. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now symbolized in the form of a living serpent, had not only seduced Eve, but the majority of mankind.
The majority of mankind is
now deceived. But how did Pergamos become the seat of Satan? If Babylon was his seat, because it started in Babylon in Genesis 11. And here, the scripture in Revelation is saying that Pergamos, where Satan's seat is. How did he get there? We have already, if we are following, seen the spreading, movement from place to place, through education, civilization, religious spread, then the actualization of the thoughts of Nimrod, going to idolatry, on and on and on. We have reached this place now. Then the question is now staring us in the face. How did Pergamos become the seat of Satan when he started in Babylon?
Amen.
The answer against in history, when Babylon fell to the Medes and Persians, the priest king Attalus fled the city and went to Pergamos with his priests and sacred mysteries. You got that point? I will repeat. How Satan moved to Pergamos. When Babylon fell to the Medes and Persians, the priest king Attalus fled the city and went to Pergamos with his priests and sacred mysteries. There he set up his kingdom outside the Roman Empire and thrived under the care of the devil. I don't want to go to Daniel now, because in the next like 6 pages we are coming to Daniel to talk about the four world kingdom. Right. This has been a very short resume of the history of the Babylonian religion and its advent to Pergamos. Many questions are no doubt left unanswered, and much more, no doubt, could have been said to enlighten us. But this is not intended to be a study of history. Rather, it is intended to be a help to the study of the word. Amen. If you ask questions that is within where the message cover, you get answer. If you ask questions that fall within the area that was not covered, that the prophet said that many questions are no doubt left unanswered, it will still be unanswered. Are you with me? The denunciation. Yeah, the reason we are going to this next something, because we are following this thing till we end this thing around page 207 or thereabouts. Yes, then we go to other things. When we read that one, then we begin to read some quotes to address some issues. Like I told you, we will end it with the warning of the third angel. God bless you. The denunciation. Revelation 2. 14 to 15. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balak, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So as thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. I always used to like that statement. These people, they have this one. Okay, well, maybe this is not really where that statement I actually want to refer to is. This one is denunciation. But there is another place where the prophet said that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which thing I also hate. Not this age, another age now. For people to hate what God hates is great. To like what God loves is wonderful. But here to this Pergamon, this one is denunciation. In this Pergamon age, the Lord denounces two things which he hates. One, the doctrine of Balaam, which brought idolatry and sinful excesses to Israel at Baal-peor. And two, the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which had been but deeds in the Ephesian age. It was just deeds. But now it has become a doctrine. Combine this denouncement with the fact that he has been emphasizing Pergamos as the seat of Satan. And it is very easy and proper to conclude that somehow the religion of Babylon has become intermingled with Christianity. The religion of Babylon, it has become intermingled with Christianity. Bala started that wahala. When he could not achieve his purpose. If you read Genesis, you are not going to find that thing there. But Revelation brought it out, and then Abraham explained to us. Because not Genesis 7, Numbers. Numbers chapter 23-25. When Balak invited Balaam to come and curse me, these people, I know that whatever you curse is cursed, whatever you bless is blessed. And God has warned Balaam, those people are my people, don't curse them. But the prophet said, because of the love of money, he still went to pray the second time. And God, when God looked at his heart, that he really won the money. Oh, yeah, go. For the first time, after that what happened in the time of Noah, the animals were not speaking back to Noah, but the prophet said that God spoke to, Noah spoke to the animals, and they understood in their own language. He said that is how they enter the ark. Yeah, he said we just go to the bush. Amen, 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 amen. A group of animals, male and female, we follow him and we check them into the ark. You go back again. Praise God, praise God, praise God. They will hear that in their own language. A pair of them, male and female, we follow him. They will enter. You go there again. Glory, glory, glory. Pair of them, we follow. They will check them in where they are supposed to stay. Supernaturally, they were hearing him. Because when God wants to do anything, that is why the God can do anything. When he has a purpose to achieve, there is no extent he cannot reach. On the way when Balaam was going from his covetousness, him and animal begin to speak to him, and he was not even conscious of himself. When the animal saw him here and stop, Balaam say, "Go. What is wrong with you? When somebody is in a urgent journey, that's when you will move. Before I meet this morning, move." The animal spoke back. Have I not been carrying you faithfully all this? And he said, yes, you have been carrying me. He didn't even know he was talking to animal. I think you say you are a prophet. Can't you see? They see what? I say, move. Until the angel make himself visible to him. Before he now bow his head. He said, okay, I will not go. I will not go from here. He want to go, so go. Go. But when you get there, I will take care of the situation. Go. It was God that twisted his tongue. If not, in his heart, he would have caused those people to get the money. Do the first phase, it was blessing. Second phase, blessing. Third phase, blessing. Balak said, oh yeah, come and go. If you know that you are not going to cause, don't bless. Don't open. If there is nothing from your mouth apart from blessing, then go back. Don't open the mouth at all. Don't open your mouth. Don't open your mouth. If it is when you open, it's blessed. Oh yeah, go. Look as if God has kept you away from receiving all that I packed for you. For him to get those money, Brother Abraham said, before he left, he told Balak that these people you see so, God can't cause them easily like that. The only thing I can advise you, go and organize a party. Your girl that doesn't dress well, that open their breasts, that we bring out their ties, we are transparent, we are trousers, all those daughters of Cain, display them, let them be dancing with these ones. They don't have the Holy Ghost in their soul yet. As long as they dance with them, their body will rise. Can organize that party. Then you will, whatever you yourself, you will see what will happen after. That is what he taught them. That is the doctrine of Balaam. Amalgamation. Some of these amalgamations, you got to be careful. All of us, we are not all messed up believers. We are not all messed up believers. Up to this time, some people see all tenaciously to what Brother Koma said. Brother Koma is a fivefold. He could make mistakes. Forget about what Koma said and take what Brother Abraham said. Number two, some people up to now, they are still mentioning frisbee. They have brought what you call the 18 scrolls is there, his book. There is nothing in that scroll. The people that are in Frisbee now, I discussed with them recently. A lady wearing earring. I said, do they allow you people to wear earring? Yeah. He said, yes, we wear it. I said, are you able to claim to the message of the hour? I said, even denominations are past that stage. They are worse than denominations. Any church, any group, anywhere that does not believe in total what Brother Abraham has said, run away from there. If you come out of Frisbee, if you come out of coma, and the things of coma are still inside, be careful. The prophet told us that when you bring somebody out of out of water that is drowning, you have two jobs to do. You have brought him out of water. That is stage one. Stage two, you have to press the stomach and make sure that all the water come out. Some will come from the mouth, some will come out from the ear, some will come out from the nose, some will come out from the eyes. Anyhow, they must all come out. Because the prophet said, some of the quantity of this water can still kill the person. I was speaking to a minister last night. I saw you somewhere, you went for wedding. He said, yes, so they called him for wedding. Because somebody in the church went to marry somebody. I said, wonderful. He said, he was actually asked to come and take part of the marriage blessing. Say, so told the brother that you only do the blessing. He wants you to also take part. You know the way they do it, it's denomination. Somebody will come and do declaration. Somebody will come and do charge. Somebody will come and do blessing. Somebody will come and do joining. It is trash. That denomination I carry over. Every, I don't have my own here. Just like you so see Pastor read here, the ordinance, it's not more than that. Every day about marriage blessing, it's not more than that. Period. And it is only one person that does it. That is the officiating minister. That's all. Only one person starts from who will I ask? See, you are married. Whatsoever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Only one minister does all that in the message of the hour. Are you following me? That is denomination. But we have seen it done. They are the claim to be the message. I think you remember. This one will come out. If there is anything tomorrow, who really is it? Who really bless the wedding? When I went to Ghana some 2 years ago, a minister gave me his own compilation. I see have it. I look at it. Denominational formation. And it's an old time minister.
He's
a contemporary of our pastor then. I look at him like this.
Well,
the Lord may God spare our life.
Yeah,
God have mercy. Look, God help us in this place. Let me just shake hands with this old man. Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
You did a good work.
Shalom. Oh!
We have, look, it is one thing to be in the message. It is another thing altogether to be in a place where you actually are taught the truth. I mean, the truth undiluted. Oh, we have been to places, a lot of mixture, a lot of diluting, a lot of this like that. Very terrible. There is a job to do in the field.
May
God spare our life. This question that you wrote here, I will bring it next God's prayer in our life so that I'll read the quote. We follow the quote of the prophet. Now, me as a human being, I can make mistakes. I am not the absolute. So if I made mistake yesterday, I can see it today. Maybe that yesterday was ignorant. Which the Bible said, God wink at it. That is why don't copy anybody. Follow the message. But if you follow somebody, that person may be sincerely wrong because he never saw it at that time. And I may be a minister. Yeah. But maybe sincerely, he did not see it. From the day he sees, so go back to it, it now becomes iniquity. That's how we tell our guests. Go to NYC, don't wear trousers there. If you wear it, the angel already have your picture there. The only way you can have it deleted is for you to sincerely repent and make it right. If you go and do it after we have told you the truth, you owe us an obligation to come and tell us that you compromised. Even if you don't tell church, the minister, we that told you, that preach to you, you owe us an obligation. That's why you see some people, all the picture throughout that, na passport. Many used to cut it from here. Just cut it from here. So that this way the trouser party will not be seen. God have a copy. Even if the pastor says you can wear it, the pastor is wrong. I can say with all my strength. And that without apology. Yes. I know that Bradley will not say, but I just want to say this. Even if you say the senior elder, to make it more whatsoever. When it comes to things like this, it's an individual affair. If you wear it, you come and sit down quietly and say glory to God. There is no glory to God there. You are like an Achan in the camp. Yes. You are a compromiser. May the Lord be our
help.
We have come a long way. And where we reach, though there may be places, people that does what they like. Let me tell you, this message, we judge everybody in this generation. Everybody, this message we judge them. All that we believe, If you are a member here, you have to follow them tenaciously. Yes. Let me say this openly. You sang leaders, when you are leading sons, the ball is in your court. Everything that happened within the sang leading, God will ask you why. If it goes amiss, so you give anybody any part of it, the person does it contrary to the message, call the person's attention to it. Otherwise, you yourself, you become a compromiser. In addition, the deacons, they are the policemen of the church, and they are to uphold all that we stand for here. Whatever goes amiss, they have the authority. The authority of the entire church and the authority of Christ to call the person to order. Yes. See, how can Brother Joshua come and be telling me? He can tell you. What do you think? He can tell you. As long as he remains a deacon here, that the old church voted as a deacon. He can tell you. The Lord be our help. God bless you, Richard. I may come a glad day. Do you love the Lord? Do you believe the message of God? Do you have some areas that you are not comfortable with the message? Shall we rise up? 3:6 again. I think it is. Yeah, send the light. We'll continue next time. We have the opportunity. Oh. meditate on the things that we have had. Let's turn to God ourselves. Now these things that we hear will not condemn any of us on the day of judgment. All the sermons are in God's record. Our pictures are there with it that we have had. Even while the word is being preached, the thoughts of our hearts, they are right there attached to every service, and God is looking at it. One of these days, it will come open. If you hear it and you go compromise, God will ask you why. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? After I anointed my servant, inspired him, and you said amen to it, and you went back and still do like this. Why? Is there no balm in Gilead? Are there no physicians there? Why then is the daughter of my people not recovered? Ask God for grace. Ask Him for strength. Ask Him for the ability. Ask Him for the quickening of the spirit. This word that you hear, the Holy Spirit is the quickener of it. If He doesn't quicken it, you can't live by it. But if He quickens it, you will find this journey very easy. And if you see the grace of God in your life, following this message, obeying it, don't think it is your strength, don't think it is your ability. It is the mercy of God to you, it is the grace of God to you, it is His victory in your life, it is mercy in your life. Give Him thanksgiving, give Him appreciation, pledge your life anew unto Him. That how many months He give to you, weeks or years or days, that you will serve Him all the days of your life. Do that with all your strength, and God will reward you for it. Because these people we are reading from now, in the time of Pergamos, where Satan sits, they live in his throne room and they defeated him. It's in record, and then we have read it. What will be your own testimony when that time comes? Are still bowed, and our hearts are bowed also, and our eyes remain closed. If there be somebody somewhere that have a need or a desire and want God's mercy, grace, and help, going by the things that has gone forth in humility and reverence before the Almighty God, would you like to signify as you raise up your hand to God? Say, God, help me. As the pastor refers.
Dear Heavenly Father, we are very grateful to you again. That is our. Thank you for the to be in service again this morning. Thank you, because before we left our homes, we have one thing at the back of our mind. We're coming to meet with you. And this is the way you have ordained it to be. Lord, that through the ministration of your word, you will teach us the truth. You will rebuke us. You will correct us. You will instruct us that we may be what you want us to be. Lord, the world has gone forth in simplicity. Lord Jesus, I draw the attention of your children, some are at the altar, some have raised up their hands. That's why the fire that the law of gravity says our hands should always have done. But we be human beings, we have spirit in us. We have heard the word, we have raised our hands, contrary to that law of gravity. Father, we are praying. May you be gracious unto us.
Yeah.
May you meet us at the point of our needs. May you give us revelation of your word.
Yes.
May you quicken the things that we have heard unto us, O
God. Yes.
May you give us grace and ability to live by everywhere.
Yes.
Because without that, the word has said, it's not only the hearers, just the man, but the doers of your word. Have you been privileged to be the hearers? Give us grace to be the doers.
Yes.
Thank you, our Father.
Yes.
Blessed be thy holy name.
Yes.
Take all the glory and
honor. Yes.
For granting these petitions.
Yes.
Bless your servant that you are graciously used. Replenish him for the virtue that has left him. Lord, as he has earlier on said, may these things never, never stand a witness against any of us on the day of judgment.
Yes.
But rather, may he give us oratory faith.
Yes.
And thereby make us ready to escape the damnation that lays ahead. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
Blessed be thy name.
Yes.
In Jesus' most holy name, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. We'll be seated again 2 o'clock. And then the minister will come to the pulpit by 3. Hopefully to close around 4 o'clock. This week that we have started, we want to trust God to have another vigil on Friday. For this month, because we want to come back to once a month we are doing before. We enjoyed the last one, and those who are able are the ones that are invited to come. It's voluntary. If you don't feel like coming, please don't bother yourself. Those who are convalescing, they should just remain home and rest while we pray for them. God bless you all. 1007. Yield not to temptation.